జయం సుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనందకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమసహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్తులందరికి ఓ ప్రేమనందే ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ బుధలేశ్వరి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజాని నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయ నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యత ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదిదరదస్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాద్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవై ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయ తేజో వారి మృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుగముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసికా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానంద రూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాది హేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాధరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం హానతోస్మై యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేను కొనిదాదృతానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం న కనికాపి కాపి కాపి నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ హిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణీ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదీభువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవిందపరమానవే నమః പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, where we stopped last Sunday, we're discussing the Ekadasha Skandam, where Krishna has spoken to Uddhava about the conversation between King Yadu and Dattatreya Maharshi. That's where we started. So, Ekadasha Skandam, as I mentioned so many times before, that it is called Mukti Skandam. Mukti Skandam means the liberated state of a person. That's what is discussed. And because it is the state of liberation, what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, it's a difficult thing to understand. And many things when we hear from Ekadasham, it may remain as a mystery to us. It's difficult for the person who speaks from Ekadasham. It's difficult for the person who hears Ekadasham. From both sides, it's a very difficult canto to talk about. Main reason being that many of the things what Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam, unless it is realized, you cannot know about the correctness of it, or you cannot even talk about it. Because unless you experience it yourself, and simply by hearing, Krishna says it goes beyond the senses, the mind and the intelligence. Intelligence cannot capture Ekadasha Skandam. Mind cannot capture Ekadasha Skandam, neither the senses. It's beyond the three things. Why? Because it's all spoken about the soul and soul alone. So, therefore, to simplify it, and in order for us people, ordinary people to understand, Krishna has given these various examples. Like through this episode, or through this prakaranam they call it, which is between the Yadu, King Yadu and Dattatreya Maharshi, or Yadu Dattatreya Samvadam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's how it's referred to. Yadu Dattatreya Samvadam. Through that, Krishna wanted to tell us about Vairagyam. How important it is to develop detachment from material life in order to advance on the spiritual life. Normally, you will see in the Bhagavatam throughout, even in the earlier cantos also, Kunti Devi praying to Krishna, Snehavasha Mimam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. Please cut this attachment for me, for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis, from both sides. She wants the attachment to be cut. And she asking Krishna to do that for her. She says, I can't do it myself. Unless you do it for me, it will not happen. This is our state also. Our state in this world, our life in this world is also like that. For various reasons, we are attached to family members, society, material life in so many ways. And unless someone comes and cuts it, it's not going to happen. And there is where bhakti's role. Bhakti develops this detachment in a person. The two symptoms of a devotee, when Krishna talks about it, is that along with bhakti, simultaneously knowledge and renunciation develops in a person. This is the symptoms of a devotee, not anything else. Not that Krishna is never, neither in the Bhagavad Gita nor in the Srimad Bhagavatam, talks about a devotee with the external symptoms. Everything is based on the knowledge and the renunciation, what he has developed through devotion. So that is very important point. Now here, the first thing is the Yadu Mahara Yadu, King Yadu has seen, King Yadu has seen Dattatreya Maharshi, and his immediate immediate reaction to seeing Yadu. That's what we were talking about. What did he say? That he said that Kudo Buddhiriyam Brahman Akartu Suvisharada. As I mentioned, each of these words has very deep meanings behind each of these expressions. Kudo Buddhiriyam Kartu to Kudo Buddhiriyam Brahman Akartu Suvisharada. Visharada. Suvisharada means, we saw earlier what Visharada means. Krishna calls it as Vaisharadi Buddhi. Vaisharadi Buddhi means, we saw before, our buddhi, our intelligence at the present moment, it is locked up under the three modes of material nature. Isn't it? Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. Goodness, passion and ignorance. These three modes of nature controls our intelligence. Controls our intelligence. Plus, what else? Because of that, this intelligence is dictating to us continuously to engage in the gratification of the senses, which has also been given to us by Krishna's arrangement. So sense gratification becomes another object of utilizing the intelligence. And when we say sense gratification, it doesn't mean that everything what we do is actually sense gratification. If you think about it seriously, from morning to night, all our five senses, eyes, the five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, which follows the five senses of knowledge, are engaged in gratification in one way or the other. We want to see good things all the time, or we want to watch television, or we want to watch cinema, something like that. Always the eyes are looking for some gratification, isn't it? Same thing with the ears also, wants to hear nice music, which is pleasant to us for the senses. Or hear something which is very pleasant, or even if it is talking ill about someone else, still if it's pleasant, we want to hear. So it's called paradushanam. So that is also why, because these senses, because of its impurity inside, the intelligence is impure, has guiding the senses in that direction all the time. So same thing with the tongue. Tongue wants to taste food which are palatable to the tongue or the senses. So, like this, sense gratification is going through all the time from morning to night. Ever since we wake up in the morning till we go to bed in the night, this sense gratification senses are active in one way or the other. All the senses, whether it is senses of knowledge or senses of action. So, Yadu Maharaj is asking, Kudo Buddhiriyam Brahman Akartu Suvisharada. How did this Vaisharadi Buddhi come to you? Vaisharadi Buddhi means, this Buddhi has got, as I mentioned, one problem is its intelligence is polluted by the modes of nature. Secondly, we are looking for sense gratification. Above all, there is one third thing which this intelligence does to us. What is that? Intelligence is always telling us, engage in such activities which are profitable for you. In other words, selfishness is the motive behind everything. We don't want to do anything in a selfless way. We think this has all been given to us to engage in our selfish interests. That is the whole problem, that karma yogam become a karma rogam at that time. Karmam, instead of becoming karma yogam, it turns into karma rogam. So it becomes a disease in us. And that disease, because it is so firmly installed in us, we are unable to break away from that. We are unable to break away from that. So this attachment for the results of our activities, the attachment to the sense gratification, and also the three modes of material nature, all these three things together, it makes our intelligence completely completely materialistic intelligence. When we are freed from this, it is called Visharada, Vaisharadi Buddhi. See that word, how important it is, Vaisharadi Buddhi. Krishna will use that word later also in the 10th chapter. In the 10th chapter, Krishna uses that word again. And in many other places in Ekadasham, you will see this word Vaisharadi coming again. Vaisharadi means Sharada. Sharada is the Sharada, the deity form of Sharada. Sri Parvati is considered to be the personification of the spiritual intelligence. Vaisharadi Buddhi. So, Kudo Buddhiriyam Brahman Akartu Suvisharada. that because of this Vaisharadi Buddhi, our Dattatreya Maharshi has become akartu. Akartu means he's not doing anything. There's nothing to be done. This thing that we have to do something, we have to do something, we have to do something all the time. Where did this come from? It came from this mind and this intelligence. But when Vaisharadi Buddhi comes, he comes to the point of understanding that he has nothing to do here. And that realization is called Vaisharadi Buddhi. That is what he was talking about. Kudo buddhiyam brahman akartu suvisharadaha. And that buddhi will not be purified unless Krishna comes in. Come, Krishna enters into this intelligence. Otherwise, it will misguide us, just like in the case of Arjuna. Arjuna was misguided by his intelligence. And when Krishna took that role of driving the chariot we talked about, chariot is the body. In that, in the position of intelligence, Krishna sat there and he started driving that. When Krishna started driving that, we saw what difference it made for Arjuna. What difference it made for Arjuna. So, by austerities, by penances, by chanting the holy name, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, in this way, one can try to purify this intelligence. And it will allow Krishna to enter inside. And when Krishna starts controlling this intelligence, what will happen? It becomes one of Krishna's vibhudis. Vibhudis means Krishna's opulences. In other words, from then on, it's Krishna driving the chariot. That's what it is spoken about. Now, here, the intelligence that's been purified like this, when it is released from the modes of nature, how it will work, how that will function, that is the example in the Dattatreya Maharshi, what we find here. Already in a realized state, he is moving around. And because he is already self-realized, nothing in this world, these differences between man, woman, good, bad, love and hate, lust and anger, all kinds of emotions, and different attachments, that has gone away from him. Once those things leaves a person, then he sees everything as the manifestation of the soul. As the manifestation of the soul. That's why that realization has come to him. Kudo buddhiriyam brahman. The addressing is calling him as Brahman. Why? Because Brahman realization has already happened to him. Yadu Maharaj was very intelligent. He could see this. This transformation that has happened to the king. Kudo buddhiriyam brahman akartu suvisharada. So visharada, that Vaisharadi buddhi is there and therefore he is akartu. He is not doing anything. There is nothing to be done after that. He is already realized, fully realized. So in that realized state, how he is acting, that is what is being discussed here. Yama sadhya bhavam loke vidvamscharadi bhalaval. Then Vidvamscharadi Bhalavad. Because it is like that, he is Vidvamscharadi Bhalavad. Just like a child, he is moving around in this world. What does that mean? Why is he moving around like a child? There is a reason behind all these things. They don't do it without any reason. Vidvamscharadi Bhalavad. Although all this realization and knowledge has come to him, and he is already established in that situation, that he has no attachment anywhere, nor aversion to anything. So therefore, everything what they do is not done from the mind, is done from the body. Sometimes they will act like children. Children, when they act, they don't have any attachment to anything, isn't it? Sometimes they'll play with one toy for some time, and when they are bored with it, they'll just leave it and go and do something else. That's their nature. In other words, he never thinks about it, what he has done in the past. That is the child's mind. So, Vidvamscharadi Bhalavad. So similarly, when our Dattatreya Maharshi is moving in this world, that he is completely free to do what he wants to do. Like children, he is acting completely like a child. He is acting like that. Vidvamscharadi Bhalavad. And seeing this, King Yadu has noticed that he had no interest in anything particularly. Everywhere he is acting in a completely detached way. Absolutely no connection with anything, what he was doing here. So, now, in order to come to this state of intelligence, if you read in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about it. When does that happen to someone? I don't know whether you have noticed that. In one place, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajalam priti purvakam. that one who has served Krishna with all sincerity and have understood his relationship with Krishna, that's very important, understood his relationship with Krishna, and he has served Krishna in that way, what will happen to him? Krishna says, to give, I give that intelligence. Dadami buddhi yogandham, by which yenamam upayandide, he can come back to me. That is how Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. Tesham sadadayuktanam bhajadam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogandham yenamam upayandide. It is not a kind of material intelligence what we are talking about. Material intelligence is, it's not something that we can study from a university or acquire by intelligence development, like the way they do in many ways by injecting, there are so many ways of doing it in the medical, say also how to increase your IQ, this, that and the other, so many things. But that IQ won't help here. This is a different kind of IQ. This IQ only can work if Krishna comes in. There's no other way. That's why Krishna says like that. Dadami buddhi yogandam. I give the intelligence, not anybody else. Tesham satadayuktanam bhajadam pridipurvagam. Dadami buddhi yogandam yenamam upayantide. That satadayuktanam, always serving Krishna. Always serving Krishna. How? Bhajadam pridipurvagam. Pridipurvagam. When one is serving Krishna with love and attachment, he is serving Krishna. To him, Krishna says, Dadami buddhi yogandam. I give the intelligence to him. It is then that Krishna enters into his intelligence and purify that intelligence, and then Krishna takes over from there. So here is a case of a personality whose intelligence Krishna has taken over. And you can see the way he is acting. Completely satisfied. Totally satisfied. No anxieties about anything in this world. No care for this world. No desires developing inside. Desires are the cause of all the distress in life, isn't it? So many desires builds up, and then in order to fulfill the desires, one has to act, and sometimes you succeed, sometimes you fail, and this way life goes on. So therefore, here we have our Dattatreya Maharshi completely freed from all anxieties, that he is not anymore showing any kind of concern on in this world, whether it is a cyclone or whether it's earthquake or anything, whatever that's going on in this world, it does not affect him. It does not affect him. Why is it like that? Because he's already situated in that platform of spiritual realization. We'll come to that, that different state of realization what one goes through. So it's typically what is spoken here is that Yadu Maharaj immediately recognized the immediately recognized the seeing Dattatreya Maharshi what state of consciousness he is. As soon as he saw the state of consciousness, immediately detected that here is a personality who has gone beyond the three modes of nature. Who has gone beyond the three modes of nature. And that's why he is saying here, Kudo buddhiriyam brahman akartu suvisharada. Akartu. And what is akartu? Akartu means he has nothing to do anymore. Yama asadya bhavam loge vidvam sharadi balaval. Because he has reached that state of consciousness where he is not feeling anymore any obligation towards anyone in this world. This is the beauty of that. He has no more obligations. Realized state means all our ignorance is gone. That's what realization means, isn't it? Why do we feel attachment to so many objects in this world? Connections with this, connection with that. Because of ignorance. Actually, there is no relationship in that way. Our relationship is mostly based on mamata. Mamata means material attachment. There is two things, sneham and mamata. In Shastram, that's how it's spoken. Sneham means to love somebody, someone else in this world is a nature of a living entity, to love somebody else. That love cannot be based on one's family or one's relations, society, community. It has to be to all the living entities. That is proper love. Normally what happens to us is what is called mamata. Mamata means attachment because it's mine. Because of me, I've connected with them some way or the other. That's me and mine. To that connection, mamata, that is called mamata. So sneham or love is good, but mamata or attachment is bad. Mamata causes problems, whereas love develops into devotion. There are two things, sneham and mamata. So here, what is spoken through this King Yadu's conversation with the Tathraya Maharshi is how to come out of mamata and develop sneham, love. Sneham is bhakti, love is bhakti. But today we misunderstand things. We love somebody, we say we love somebody. Actually it is not love. It is actually mamata, attachment. And when mamata nirasam means how to free oneself from mamata and develop love towards other living entities. Love has to be to everyone because it is this love later on turns into equal vision to other living entities. When we say, remember, four things we spoke about before. What were they? When we started the Ekadasha Skandham, we said that that the four things we were talking, Tundu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Swajana Bandushu Mayaveshya Mana Samyak Samadrik Vijarasugam. That Samadrik, equal vision, can only build up if there is love for other living entities. Love will lead to that, whereas mamata will lead into more problems. Will lead into more problems. That means we started differentiating between every living entity. In each and every living entity, Krishna is present there. So how can we pick and choose from that? How can we say that one living entity is dearer to me, the other living entity is my enemy? That thought cannot, should not happen. Because once that thought comes in, the mind starts moving. Mind starts moving, chalanam. Chalanam will happen in the mind. Once the mind starts moving, then the problem starts from there. Whole spiritual process is to bring the mind under control. And in order to do that, these things have to go from mind. But unfortunately, in many cases, what will happen is they develop attachment, and in the, because of that, they enter into serious problems. But spiritually advanced soul, they see on an equal vision. Why did Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita like that? Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni jaiva shobageja pandita samadarshina. That samadarshinam or equal vision will happen to such a person who is realized, learned and humility, with humility. Then he will see in the same spiritual spark is present in the brahmana, in the cow, in the elephant, in the dog, in the dog eater, everywhere. We want to reach that state of consciousness. We don't want to reach a state of consciousness where we want to pick and choose from people. This is a very, very dangerous thing to do in life, to pick and choose from people and to tell them that you are my friend, you are my enemy. This whole consciousness, it is only degrades one's spiritual understanding. He goes down to the path of hell in that way by picking and choosing. But strictly speaking, Krishna's point here is, if you want to come to the platform of spirituality, we have to shed all these things, our false understanding. That comes from mamata, whereas neham leads into equal vision towards everyone, not to develop any love or hate towards anyone. Both are equally dangerous, in the sense that in the mamata and hate, that's what it is. To someone I like because he fulfills my senses or gratifies my senses, to whom I have mamata. Somebody else who causes me trouble, I hate him. So in this way we deal with this world. Krishna says both are troublesome. Both will not help. So here, in this case, he has got the knowledge and he has got the realization completely. And therefore, he is walking very freely in this world, unaffected by anything. All other things you may execute in life, sandhyavandanam, japam, dhyanam, meditation, so many processes. But in spite of that, that he has crossed even that stage. The Tathraya Maharshi has even crossed that stage. He doesn't have to execute any of these things. Because these things are done, only get to that stage. Only to come to this stage, we execute all these things. What? The japam, the chanting, the dhyanam, meditation. And also the three different times in a day, sandhyavandanam. All this is performed to get to that stage. After reaching that stage, these things have become insignificant. These things have become insignificant. Then, so, what did he say after that? He said, Yadu Maharaj is saying to him, this is very important, these verses. Prayo dharmartha kameshu vivilsayam jama navaha heduneiva sami hande ayusho yashasaha shreyaha. Yadu Maharaj is saying to Dattatreya Maharshi, what I see here is something very interesting. What is that? Prayo dharmartha kameshu vivilsayam cha manavaha.
throughout history, in this world, generally we have four things, isn't it? Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Out of these four, majority of the people pick only the first three. The fourth one is never a topic, a serious issue in their life. In majority of people's life, liberation is never an issue. If it is given to us, fine, we'll take it. But we don't put any endeavor in that direction. Majority of the human society, Yadumaraj is saying here, prayo dharmam artham kameshu vivilsayam cha manavaha. Generally, he says, in dharmam, artham and kamam, people are absorbed in this life. When we say that, you have to also think about it, the time when Yadumaraj has spoken. In Yadumaraj's time, there was something good. At least in three, they were interested. What was they? Dharmam, artham and kamam. By the time our time has come, by our time, we have left one more out of it. What one? The first one. We say, dharmam also we don't need. Artham, kamam. Only two things. Nothing more than that. In Yadu's time, prayo dharmartha kameshu. He says, dharmam, artham and kamam was taken seriously by the people. By the people. Dharmartha kameshu. We will sayam cha manava. Three things at least they were interested. By our time, we said we don't even need three, we need only two. What? Artham and kamam. Money and enjoyment. Nothing else. So, you can see that even Hiranyakashipu, if you take in the Saptamaskandam, in the seventh canto, if you look, you will see there. Even Hiranyakashipu, who was such a powerful demon, while he was talking to Prahlada, he says the importance of these three, dharma, artham and kama. So, strictly speaking, we have come to such a state that we have even beaten Hiranyakashipu on that. Even Hiranyakashipu, we have beaten him. Because Hiranyakashipu even said, artham and kamam should be based on dharmam. Artham and kamam should be based on dharmam. Otherwise, arthagamam can cause serious problems if it is not based on dharmam. When people suffer heavily, even after developing, even after acquiring a lot of wealth or a lot of material life advancement, sometimes when you see them suffering, one wonders what is the cause behind it, isn't it? Sometimes you find like that. People are put into some difficult situations in life. From where they find it difficult. They don't know what to do about it. Some distress comes to them in some form of illness or sometimes people are thrown away, taken away from the family or some relationship breakdown and things like that. All the time you are seeing this. Throughout, when you read the newspaper, television and all kind of things, you see sometimes very, very wealthy people, you may wonder, they could live very peacefully in this world, isn't it? With all the wealth they have. They have no problem of finding food or a place to sleep. Or that's not their issue. But they are not happy. Why? Why is that? It's happening like that. This is because when you acquire arthagamam, which is not based on dharmam, it has to have its reaction. Therefore, strictly, the sages have laid out these rules. Dharmam, based on dharmam, if you develop artham, if you develop kamam, that is allowed. But if you take away dharmam from that, dharmam is the basis of everything. Why do we call this a sanadana dharmam? Because it is a dharma, everything is rooted. Dharma o rakshati rakshita. One who protects dharmam, dharmam protects them. So when there is no dharmam in their activities, although they may apparently look opulent and flourishing in material life, inside there is great dissatisfaction and misery they are going through. This is known to everybody. We are always seeing this. Isn't it? We are always seeing this. In spite of material opulences, material happiness, still there is some something missing in their life that they are not happy about it. They're not happy about it. Either problem in relationships or ill health or something like that. Anything can happen to something. So, what we have to know is that dharmam is an important thing. Here, he says here, prayo dharmartakameshu vivilsayam cha manavaha hetu neiva samihande ayusho yasasa shriyaha. Ayusho yasasaha shriyaha. Now, when people are generally absorbed in these three kinds of activities, dharmam, artham and kamam, normally their mind turns into things. What will they look for? Ayusho yashasa shri. This is what they want from that. They want a long span of life. They want fame and popularity. And they want wealth and of course some followers also. Ayusho yashasa shriyaha. So, hedunaiva samihande ayusho yashasaha shriyaha. So, ayusha yashasa and shri. Because when you have yashasa and shri, that means fame and opulences. You also want ayusha, a long span of life, to enjoy all that, isn't it? So, dharmamartham kamam, ayusha yashasa shri, this becomes their regular activity. This becomes their regular activity. Regular activity. This is something very important to think about, because this desire for sense enjoyment and this desire for ayusha, yasasa and shri does not even go away even after you join a spiritual institution. You can see this throughout the world today in all sampradayas, in all institutions. This is exactly what is happening. They come and they do all sorts of things, but behind this motive of ayusha, yasasa, shri, this is very, that will not go away. One Mahatma comes, founds an institution on noble principles. Because of his tapasya, because of his austerities and realizations, he lays down the rules, he leaves everything, and for others to take benefit from that. But then what happens? Businessmen, politicians, professionals, they take over the institution and run it after that. Ayuso yashasa shriyaha. This is spiritual life today. Throughout the world, it is happening. In all religions, in all branches. So therefore, what happens? People get confused. They come with the understanding of leading a spiritual life, and what they experience is just the opposite. And Yadu Maharaj has spoken about this to Dattatreya Maharshi at that time. That prayena, prayo dharmartha gameshu. It is so strong in the human mind for these three things. Dharmam, artham and kamam. Dharmartha gameshu vivilsayam cha manava. Generally, all people are in that category, King Yadu says. Hedu naiva samihande ayusho yashasa shriyaha. There is nothing else that is pushing them to do it. That is what is pushing them. Because of the strong impetus this has given them, they are always busy in ayusha, yashasa and shri. This is what is driving them. People think, oh, they are making so much sacrifice to save this world. Nobody is making any sacrifice to save this world. They are all making sacrifice for these three things. And here you find, Yadu Maharaj has found out somebody who is free from that. That's what makes this interesting. He was not working for ayusha. He was not working for yashasa. He was not working for shri. Who? Our Dattatreya Maharshi. And that is what has shocked King Yadu. It has shocked him. He's saying that, why you are not doing that? Everybody else is doing that. Why you are not working for this? Hedunaiva samihande ayusho yashasa shriyaha. And that this desire, which is a very strong material desire, is in everyone, that ayusho yashasa shriyaha. Therefore, that even in the spiritual life, even in the spiritual life, this is very strong. It doesn't go away easily. One realized soul spoke about this. Because when you are realized, all these things will go away. When it is realized. But realization don't happen so easily. Till then all these things will go on in the name of spiritual life also. So one person said about this, that once he gave an example like this. He said, he has come for spiritual life. And then what happens? That sometimes when you cut a large tree in the olden days, when they didn't have the saw to cut the tree, they will cut with the axe, isn't it? They'll cut with the axe, the tree. So when they cut the tree with the axe, they will cut for a long time and the tree will split. When the tree splits, or a big piece of wood, it will split. So what they will do, what they'll do is that in the evening, before they go home, they'll put a small spool piece inside this split wood. So that otherwise, if they leave it like that, tomorrow when they come back, they'll have to cut it again to get this split back. So they put a spool piece inside this split to keep it where they left it while splitting the wood. So somebody has done like that and gone home. A monkey came that way. Monkey saw there's something funny about this. He looked at it. He sat there and he wanted to pull that piece out from that. So while sitting, his tail has fallen into the split. So, and he pulls this with a lot of effort, he pulls it out. He just wants to do some mischief. That's all. He found something interesting. He pulled this piece off and he got his tail stuck in that. He couldn't pull the tail out. So, this realized soul was saying that materialists are like this. They'll go and do all sorts of things in this world. They'll get caught up like the monkey's tail in life. And they don't know how to escape from that. They can't escape. They are stuck in that. And they keep, and if you go to the monkey and try to help him, he will bite you. Isn't it? He'll bite at you. Or he will show his teeth in a funny sort of way. Or he will try to give you as much trouble as possible, even if you go and try to help him. So he says that you can't even help those people. Because they come with all these ideas in their head, and they try to destroy others' life and spiritual life also in this way. So one has to understand that, that Brayo dharmarthagameshu vivilsayam cha manavaha hedu naiva samihande ayusho yashasaha shriyaha. These two things are there. So, therefore in the next verse, he says, Tvamdu kalpakavirdaksha subhago amridabhashanaha na kartane hase kinjil jadam unmatta pishachavad. This is how he is seeing him. Tamtu kalpaha kavir dakshaha. That in between, in the middle of this, you look very strong. Why he looks very strong? Because he is not stressed out. He is in relaxed state in his pure identity as the soul. He is completely situated on the spiritual platform. In other words, what we say normally in the Shastra, it referred to as Tripudi. Tripudi means, normally in our vision, the person who is seeing, the object what he is seeing, and the process of seeing. Three things exist, isn't it? The person who is seeing, the object what he is seeing, and the process of seeing something. These three things exist. For a realized soul, all these three things goes away. All these three things goes away. He is not seeing anymore. He is experiencing it. He doesn't have to see it with his eyes and talk about it. He's already experiencing it. And he doesn't know anything else except this realized state of consciousness. He's already got there. So he is feeling that means these three things, the process of seeing, the process of being a seer, and what is being seen, all these things have gone. Only for him the soul exists. Completely has become the soul. That is spiritually realized. He has become the soul. Bodily identity has completely gone away from him and is purely situated on the platform of spirit soul. That is what it is. So that is what it is said here. Tundu kalpaha kavir dakshaha. Because such a person is called kavi. Kavi means krantadarshi. Krantadarshi means one whose these differences in these three things have gone away. These three differences have gone away from him. He is not like us when we see an object. We see the light. I am seeing. The light is there and the process of seeing. These things have gone away from my vision. And once I have come to realize that the spirit is manifested in that form of light, I am also the same spirit. And that experience when it comes to somebody, he is in that state of kavi. Kavi. He is krantadarshi. He is already freed from that differences in his process of vision, seeing things. Tundu kalpa kavir dakshaha. That always he is seeing the truth. In other words, he is experiencing the truth. The experiencing the truth means aham brahmasmi state. Aham brahmasmi. Not only aham brahmasmi, everything is brahmam. That realization. Again, this realization that aham brahmasmi, everyone else is a dog. That's not aham brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi is I am Brahman. Equally the same vision in other living entities also. That is Aham Brahmasmi. So Aham Brahmasmi state of consciousness is this realized state. And our Dattatreya Maharshi has reached that platform already, that he is seeing this, that in everything what exists is only spirit, the soul. We'll see what is soul and matter means. We will discuss that later. But soul and matter is like this, that soul is in the most subtle state, it exists as the soul. Anything, what normally exists is only soul in the whole creation. Everything is soul. From soul came the other things in different stages of development or whatever we call it. In different phases, different things have manifested. There is only soul that exists. Soul has developed into intelligence. Soul has developed into mind. Soul has developed into senses. Soul has developed into gross material body. Soul has developed into this microphone. Soul has, there is nothing else exists except the soul in everything. It is the soul that is that that primary force in everyone. The spiritual spark that is inside us. Therefore, this mechanism called this body, what has been given to that soul, is the soul activates that body. The scientists are even now agreeing that even this mic has got life in that. Do they not? They say that there is this protons, electrons, neutrons, all sorts of tones going inside. So what does it mean? That the soul is present in everything but at different levels. Different levels. It is from the soul the matter has come. From the soul everything else has come. But to realize that, because it is in a very extremely subtle level, atyanta sushmam, it's called atyanta sushmam, extremely subtle level, we have to come to that, elevate ourselves to that level to see that the basic ingredient of everything is the soul, nothing but the soul. What we call in our materialistic realized state, materialistic state, scientists divide this, they have broken the atom into various elements, all kinds of things they have done. But Shastra is telling us, in all these things, the very underlying principle of all that is the soul. Is the soul, nothing but the soul. So this soul, to be situated in that spiritual platform is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. At that point, when you see a realized personality like that, like in the case of Dattatreya Maharshi, King Yadu could see there was something very extraordinary about him. But ordinary people did not know about it, because they didn't even know that there was a state of realization, realized state in this, a spirit soul. In the Upanishads, the word used is Meshanayanam. Meshanayanam for a realized state. Why is it like that? Why is it called Meshanayanam? Mesha means goat. Goat. The eyes are like a goat's eye. In the past, when people had some problem with the eye or it was operated, they'll put a goat's eye there. They will replace our human eye with a goat's eye. And this goat's eye is like this. You put it on, you will see as though he's looking at it, but actually he doesn't see anything. It's only there to fill that gap there. They put this goat's eye. So if you look at that person, you will think, so he has got two eyes. It's just like a cosmetic thing they have done. They used to do that, goat's eye. They will substitute with the goat's eye because he doesn't have a vision anyway. And this goat's eye, if you put it on, it will appear as though he is looking at you, but he is not seeing you. This is the real state of the sage also. This jnani also is like that. The Dattatreya Maharshi state of consciousness was like that. He is seeing everything, but he is not seeing anything in the way like the materialists will see that. We see everything as different objects, different individuals, different products like that. But our Dattatreya Maharshi was seeing everything as Brahman. Brahman. So that's why he said here, Brahman realization state has happened to him, and his vision has turned out in this way. Therefore, that he is only seeing the very underlying principle of everything, that is the soul. He has become that, in other words. Now, it is difficult for him to come back to our state of consciousness, because he has already left this and gone to that state of consciousness. Therefore, it said here, Tundukalpa kavir dakshaha, kavir dakshaha subhago amrdabhashanaham. Then, he has already got the vision, But he is not seeing anything. This is his state. It's a very difficult thing to explain also, and it's very difficult to think also. You can think about it, but because we don't experience it, it's very difficult for us. We will start asking questions. We'll start straight away. How does he see then? What does he do? How does he walk through the road? How does he manage if he is not seeing anything? So, the important thing here, that when he is seeing like this, in the many, many great personalities who are self-realized, they had this experience. They had to go through this experience. And there's nothing we can do about it. Because they have gone beyond this world. They have gone. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was referred to as his Loka Bahya. Loka Bahya means one who has gone outside this world because of the self-realization. Outside this world. They've gone away from this world. This world is not anymore. Is not world exists in our mind, isn't it? How we see this world, according to our mind. Suppose the mind is not there, what happens? Then we don't see this world. It is only because of the presence of the mind inside, we see this, oh, this is Lechmore, that's Watford, that's London, this, that and the other. All these things, markings and places, the names, the forms, all we have given to it, through our mind. Manakalpitam it's called. This is called Kalpana. Everything is made from the mind. Once this mind has freed itself, mind is not working anymore, like the way it works for us, then this is the state of realization for that yogi. For the jnani, it will be like this. He is not anymore bothered whether it's Lechmore Heath or Watford or London or this, that. For us, we are very particular about that, isn't it? Because we think, oh, otherwise how can we function in this world? This is what we say. We need all these things. That is, that's because of our mind. And this mind, which is constantly making these identities, constantly bringing these forms and names to us, this mind has to free itself from that. Because as long as it's doing this identity creation, it will always get attached to one and hate something else. Attachment and aversion, ragam and dvesham will build up from that. Simultaneously, it will also develop kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam. All these kinds of things also comes from that. That means, as soon as you are given different entities, different forms and names, immediately you want to compete with them. Isn't it? Competition starts there. Strictly speaking, behind everything, it is the one spiritual force that's working. And that is the only reality in this creation, that spiritual force. Everything else is names and forms that is manifested at different times on a temporary basis. They come and they go. But we forget that original source and we think these names, these forms are most important and they start competing each other. Once you start competing, what happened? False ego, ahangaram builds up inside. Ahangaram comes in. And this ahangaram will never go. It will always stay. And that ahankaram mixed with this, mixed with the mind and intelligence together create our material life in this world. This is material life means. This false ego mixed with the intelligence and the mind. And no matter where we go, whether to any spiritual organization or material organization, these things are always inside. They have not gone. We may put on any dress and try to cheat Krishna in one way or the other. But Krishna knows inside these things how much that has gone away from that man. That's what he is looking at. That hasn't gone, so we stay. We do exactly the same thing what we do in the material life also. So, once it so happened that there was in Himalayas, there was a great jnani sitting there once. He was already in a highly elevated state of consciousness, fully realized, self-realized, and he lived there waiting for the body to drop. It was at that time, and there were other people who were observing him and following him. He never used to discuss anything with them. He always used to live his life, but already come to that state of consciousness. So another person, who was also very equally advanced and famous in the world, came to visit this jnani. When he came to visit that jnani, he came into that ashram and he was living there. Because he had a lot of followers and he was very popular throughout. So naturally, when he came, there were other people who had come to visit him as well. This person who had come to visit this jnani. So, our realized soul who was living there already, he heard about this, that someone has come, but he never wanted to go and see him or anything of this new person who had come. He never wanted to go and see him. He just stayed there. But since everybody came to know about it, some of the people who are staying with this jnani, they told him, look, so-and-so had come here. Would you not like to go and see him? Would you like to go and see him? So the jnani normally won't reply anything. He will say, we'll see. Like that. He kept like that. He wouldn't say anything one way or the other. It went on for some time. Thousands of people were coming to see this yogi who was famous. But our jnani stayed away from everything. He did not want to get involved. He just stayed like that. So one day, the jnani's disciples, you can call them, or who are associating with him, they went up to the jnani and told him, look, that yogi, so many people have come to see him. Would you not like to go and see him? He said. The jnani said, how can I see him? How can I see him? He said. So the disciples thought, maybe jnani is finding it difficult to get an appointment to go and see him. Because there are so many people coming there, it was not easy to go and see him. So they thought that he is finding it difficult to go and see him. Because he couldn't. So shall we take him so that he can go and have an audience with the yogi there? This was the intention behind it. So eventually they tried to manage and take him from there. Jnani said, what will I see there if I go there? This is his position. He says, if I go there, what will I see there? For him, he has already reached that state of consciousness. In everything, in the yogi, in the ordinary person, in everything, he is seeing only the soul. He is not seeing anything else. Now, what difference will it make if I go there and see that form or this form? Form is not any more important for him. Form is important in one state of consciousness. For us, form is important, isn't it? We are so particular what kind of dress he has put on, how he has combed his hair, whether he has got a clean shikha or not, is his tilak properly done. These kind of things we look at all the time. And the jnani is looking at it. These are all external things. What is there to worry about it so much? That will drop off with the body. That body is not the important thing. He has already started seeing the soul within that body. So the jnani said to them, for the people who are trying to take him there, he said, if you take me there, what will I see? What can I? I can't see anything different. Everything what I see here, I'll see the same thing there. So this is the state of consciousness of our Dattatreya Maharshi. He was seeing things, but in everything he was seeing the soul, and how the soul, if you have learned anything to learn from that soul, from that soul's entanglement in this world. That's the thing what is spoken here. So therefore he says here, Tum tu kalpa kavir dakshaha subhago amrita bhashanaha. Then Tundukalpa Kavir Daksha. Daksha means, you know what means? Daksha means very expert. Daksha means very expert. Expert means expert in doing things. For example, Krishna uses this word in the Bhagavad Gita also, if you see. Yogam Karmasu Kaushalam. Isn't it? The word Krishna uses Kaushalam. That is the same meaning here. Daksha. Kaushalam means one who is expert at it. How did this word Kaushalam comes? This is also interesting to think about. The word Kaushalam has come, if you know that in the old Veda Padashalas, where they were teaching Vedas and Upanishads and all that, the young boys who live there, they have to go and fetch Kusha grass. Kusha grass. Kusha means Darbha. Darbha grass. They have to go for their sacrifices, fire sacrifices and other sacrifices, they need this Darbha grass. So Brahmana boys, they were trained to go and fetch this Kusha grass. So this Kusha grass is just like it has got a blade like thing. It has got the leaf is like a blade. And that blade, when you pull, it will hurt and you will get, blood will start coming out from your hand. Because of the leaves are like that. When you pull the leaf or pull this grass, the leaf will hurt it will injure your hand and the blood will come out. But sometimes what brahmacharis do, when they pluck this grass, they have a way of holding it and pulling it out. And when they do that, they can pull the grass out, this Kusha grass, Darbha grass, without getting hurt. Without getting hurt, they can pull the grass out. Such brahmacharis are called Kushalas. Kushala means they can pull the darbhagras without getting hurt. They are called Kushalas. It is from that Kushala the word Kaushalam has come. Krishna uses that word in the Bhagavad Gita, Yogam Karmasu Kaushalam. What does it mean? One who can do karmam as a yogam, he is Kushalan, he is expert. In other words, when you are doing karmam, if you can do it without getting hurt by the reaction of that karmam, he is a Kushalan, he is an expert. That's Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Karmasu kaushalam. Kaushalam. It's kushalada what is required. That expertness of doing karmam in such a way that you don't get bound by that. You don't get bound by that. In other words, executed as a karma yogam to please Krishna. Only then karmam is pure. That's why Krishna spoke so strongly about karma yogam in the beginning. That why important it is how to dovetail the karmam into karma yogam. How to develop karmam into karma yogam. Imagine how much stress Krishna has given to that. And having understood all that thing, without giving any care for it, without valuing it, simply thinking that I can do what I want in this world and and do whatever I like and still I am a devotee is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. Because you are openly, blatantly flouting Krishna's instructions. Krishna says here, Yoga Karmasu Kaushalam. By executing karma in such a way, you are released from the reactions of that karma. On the other hand, we act exactly opposite way. So therefore, it says here, Tamdugalpa Kavir Dakshaha Subhago Amrda Bhashanaham. Then, Subhago Amrda Bhashanaham. He looked very beautiful. The Tathayamashi looks very beautiful. Na karta nehase kinjil jadon matta pishachavan. Why is it that he looked beautiful? He looked extremely beautiful as a young person. Although he was much older. He looked younger. Why? This beauty, what we are talking about is not the material beauty what we talk about. It is the spiritual beauty. Is there a thing called spiritual beauty? We may wonder, isn't it? What is the spiritual beauty? Spiritual beauty means, let's go to Ramayana and see, but to understand this. Shurpanaka came to Lord Ramachandra, nicely dressed up, isn't it? Nicely dressed up, and asking Ramachandra to accept her as Ramachandra's wife, in front of Sidadevi and Lakshmana. Shurpanaka did that. When Shurpanaka came, Ramachandra looked at her and smiled. Why? Seeing all this makeup. What Shurpanaka has done. Seeing all the makeup, Ramachandra just smiled. The same Ramachandra, later on, when Shabari came to see Ramachandra, Shabari, by appearance, was very, very old person, very old lady. The whole hair has gone, become like the whole body was, you know, at the old age, what happens to the body? It becomes the all flesh starts hanging, and there is always the skin all loses its youth, and plus the hair has gone completely white, just like wires, white wires, silver wires like thing lining everything. Ramachandra says in the Ramayana, she looks extremely beautiful. Who? Shabari. Shabari, in Ramachandra's eyes, she looked extremely beautiful. Whereas Shurpanaka's beauty did not attract Ramachandra. Behind that, Ramachandra was seeing the whole deceitfulness and the whole mind behind it. Ramachandra didn't appreciate. So here also, Subhago Amrita Bhashana. That's why, because once you are situated in your spiritual position, then everything changes. Even the body changes. Body brings its own beauty at that time, and that beauty is spiritual beauty. A body which has come in a realized state, when somebody is in a realized state, his body will speak for itself. That body is not anymore a material body. Although it will decay and die one day, its nature has changed. It presents some beauty to those people who are spiritually advanced. Then For them, because they are situated in their self, that is the most important thing. Because they are situated in the self, for them everything is self. Atma Ramaschamunayo Nirgrandha Avi Urukrame Kurvandi Ahaidugim Bhaktim Itambuda Guno Hari. Srimad Bhagavatam says like this. Atma Ramaschamunayo Atma Raman. What does Rama means? Rama means this spiritual principle in everyone. One whose Atma, whose soul is absorbed in the thoughts of this spirit. In the Rama and engages in Atmaraman means actually what that means. It means is the principle of Ramachandra. Principle of Ramachandra is what? That Ramachandra is our soul or Krishna is our soul, isn't it? Inside this is part and parcel of Krishna or Ramachandra, you can say. So when one is absorbed in that state of consciousness, where he is completely fixed in that platform, Atmarama, that he is relishing the blissfulness of the soul in such a state of consciousness. Nirgrandha abhi urukrame kurvandi ahaidugim bhaktim itam bodaguno hai. Such personalities, Krishna's, in the Sukadeva Goswami says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they enjoy the glories of Krishna. They enjoy the activities, pastimes of Krishna. So here, the example given here is that spiritual realization brings these changes in a person automatically. These changes must happen. When we don't understand the spiritually realized soul, we take it for granted. Oh, somebody looks very beautiful. Somebody is walking, is dancing nicely. So he must be self-realized. He's singing nicely, so he must be self-realized. Singing, dancing, there are so many people who are doing that much better than us. So they are not self-realized. Self-realized is not based on how you sing and how you dance. That's all foolishness. Self-realization is such a thing, it will speak for itself. No, you don't have to ask anyone after that, if he's self-realized or not. That you will see, you will experience that. That person's, the very presence of him will have an impact on others. Very presence of him will have an impact on others. That's what he's saying here. Then, then, Tumdugalpa Kavirdaksha Subako Amrita Bhashanaha. Then what else? That whatever Amrita Bhashanam, whatever he speaks at any time is full of nectar. Is full of nectar. Why do we say nectar? Does it mean that he will speak for the pleasing others? No. Anything what he speaks will be all in the realized state. Self-realized state. Because he is situated in self-realization, in the realized state, that he, whatever he speaks will be blissful to hear. Will be nectar to hear to those who are hearing. What else? Na karta ne hase kinjil jadonmatta pishachaval. Na karta ne hase. He is not doing anything. Why? He has already wiped out Maya from his life. He has already wiped out Maya from his life. What else? He has also wiped out false ego from himself. No Maya, no false ego in him. That is na karta ne hase. He has nothing to do with any of them. If you are freed from these two things, you are in the liberated state. What is that? Free from Maya and free from false ego. Sometimes, this false ego is a very difficult thing to understand. Very, very difficult thing to understand. In everything we do, in everything we say, there is false ego. There is false ego present there. It's only because of ahankaram that I am the doer, or I am the cause of something, that I am able to speak about various things. False ego will be there. Only in the realized state, one will be free from false ego. One will be free from false ego. It is a very, very, very subtle thing. It's a very subtle thing. When does false ego build up in a person? You can see. In the morning when he wakes up, first thing in the morning, I wake up first, isn't it? I have woken up. That itself is false ego. So in other words, as soon as you have woken up, the false ego has woken up same time. From that moment, right up to the moment you go to sleep, that is what is keeping you whole day going. All of us, including me. That false ego is that what is keeping, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. And this is all nothing but manifestation of false ego. Sometimes we think, oh, sometimes I talk about something spiritual, I have no false ego. That itself is a false ego, to say that. That very feeling that I exist separately from Krishna, and also I am the cause of so many things. And sometimes we say, just like an example, we'll say that, so many thousands of people have come for some festival, we say, have come from, say, for Janmashtami or this or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. So when we say like that, what is that is causing that to say that there is false ego there also? There's nothing in this world you can find without false ego. All our activities are impelled or propelled by this false ego inside. So here, what we are talking about is that makarta nehase kinjil, that unless that doership, ownership has gone completely from a person, he cannot act on that platform. Makarta nehase kinjil, jado inmata vishachavat. Very difficult to think that I'm not the doer, isn't it? A little success in life is enough. We start jumping, isn't it? A small success in life is enough. We start thinking, I've done this, I've done that. And the whole world has to know what we have done, isn't it? So this is what we are like. This is our, and we feed this false ego more and more in every day with our advertisements and newsletters or whatever we do. We have to arrest the whole world. We have to beat the drums and let the whole world. It is nothing but false ego inside. That's kicking. It is that false ego that's kicking us. But because we put a subtle cover to all that thing, thinking that, I'm doing a spiritual thing, so everybody should know about the spiritual advancement I'm making. In this way we do things. But for the Dattatreya Maharshi, all these problems don't exist. Why? Na karta nehase kinjil, jado inmata pishachavat. Doership has left him long ago. False ego has left him long ago. Maya has left him long ago. Freed from all these things, gone beyond the higher stages. And only when one get to that stage, one can understand what it means. All that. Na karta nehase kinjil, jadam unmatta pishachavat. One is moving around, he says, na karta nehase. He is not doing anything, and he is enjoying this bliss on a higher level. And those who are seeing him, like in the case what we have seen here, King Yadu is noticing that. How can he be happy like this in this state? Unless he is happy, he can't be situated in that level of realization. Nakarta nehase kinjil jadam unmatta pishachavad. Can you see that three adjectives used here? The personality now, what does he look like? Jadam unmattam pishache. What a beautiful way of explaining a person. Jada means he is dead person. Unmattam means he is intoxicated. Pishacha means he is a devil. See? Realize the soul we are talking about. And in this modern world, there are so many people declaring themselves to be realized, self-realized. And they make propaganda, come to me, I'll give you initiation. I'm already realized, I'll make you all. The moment somebody says that, take it, he is not. Because the signs of a person who is realized is here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam tells us, jadonmatta pishachavad. In the Bhagavatam, there are many personalities introduced like this to us, who is self-realized and who is not. Why Sukadeva Goswami took the trouble to explain this in detail so that people don't get misled? Let them understand that one who is realized what he looks like. Jadonmata nakinjil nakarta nehase kinjil jadonmata pishachavat. Jadam unmattam pishache. Three things. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we look into the fifth canto, we have a similar situation with Jadabharata and also King Rahugana, isn't it? Rahugana saw Jadabharata, and Rahugana was not that advanced like Yadu, in the sense that Rahugana's knowledge was good, Yadu's knowledge was also good. But Yadu had some more realization compared to Rahugana. That's why Yadu did not offend the Dattatreya Maharshi, whereas Rahugana did. Do you remember that? Rahugana did offend Jadabharata, But Jadabharata understood this king, both are kings. Rahugana is a king, Yadu is also a king. But the difference was, and both are jnanis, who Jadabharata is a jnani and a devotee, as well as our Avadhuta, Dattatreya Maharshi is also a jnani and a devotee. Both. So both of them have reacted in two different ways here. You can see that in the Bhagavatam. Jadabharata, out of his, he looked at Rahugana and understood he has studied a lot of things, but bodily concept of life is very strong in him. So if I speak something, it may help him to come out of that bodily concept of life. That's why Jadabharata is called Jada himself. Like here you see, Jadavanmata Vishadavad. Bharata was called Jadam. Jadabharata, because he was a Jadam. Jadam means he has no interest in anything. Completely unaffected by anything in this world. You know, somebody who is totally indifferent to everything. He is not interested in everything what we are interested in this world. It's of no use to him. In other words, his consciousness has gone so high in the spiritual life that he cannot find any happiness in these things, what we are looking for. Plus, he has come to realize the truth that there is no substance in anything what we are doing today here. So that is his consciousness. So he is called Jadabharata for that reason. Again, if you look at Sukadeva Goswami, when he came to talk to Parikshit Srimad Bhagavatam, how did he come? If you remember, in the description is there in the first canto. If you look at Sukadeva Goswami's description, it is exactly fits in with this Dattatreya Maharshi's description. Alakshalingam Nijalavadushto. That's how he is called. Alakshalingam. No proper plan for anything, where he wants to go. Nothing. Aimlessly wandering. Aimlessly wandering. Alakshalingam. That body has no purpose for him. He is holding the body. In other words, the body is still holding, but it has no purpose. Isn't it? Whereas we, 24 hours conscious of the body. Is any small thing anywhere coming to attack us? Or, this is us. That we are, 24 hours we take care of the body so well. Isn't it? So, therefore, all our defense in this world, we want to defense individually, collectively, as a nation together, defense for what? For this body. Isn't it? Alakshalingam Nijalavatushtoho. That whatever comes and goes doesn't bother him. That was Sukadeva Goswami's description in the Bhagavatam in the first canto. Alakshalingam Nijalavatushtoho. That, so similar situation here. Jadon Matta Pishajavad. That Unmattam. Unmattam is what? Unmattam means he is intoxicated. Intoxicated with what? With spiritual realization. That realization, that's why Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Madhira Madhandal, in another place, if you remember, we spoke about it before, that a person who is self-realized, he is not conscious of his body anymore. He is not conscious of his body anymore. And Krishna compares with a drunkard. So, don't think that when somebody walks out of the pub in the evening, he is self-realized. That's not. But, Krishna says it's similar to that. Why? Because the man, when he comes out of the pub, because if he has drunk too much, what will happen? He'll fall once, isn't it? He gets up again. He doesn't feel bad about it. He thinks, oh, once I have fallen. Before his second fall happens. Before, again he gets up. Like this, he gets home at the end. Falling, waking up again. Like this, gets home. Krishna is saying that because he is not in the bodily concept of life at that time, who? This drunkard. He is thinking, because the body is not bothering him at that, he doesn't get hurt when he falls, isn't it? Majority of the cases, the fall is not very serious, unless he goes and fall in front of a vehicle or fall into a well or something. But generally, they fall and they wake up and they don't feel the pain because of the medicine that's gone inside. So, similarly, this Unmatta stage is like that. Unmatta stage is like that. It's a kind of intoxication. Instead of being intoxicated with alcohol, he is intoxicated with the self-realization. That's what has happened to him. He's realized. So he's intoxicated. Body is not bothering him anymore. So that's why it's called Jadam Unmattam. Then what else? Pishachavat. Pishachavat means a person, a soul, which is carrying a body. Which is carrying a body. That is a pishaj. We are also pishaj, there's no doubt. But we are Pishaj, which is being a little bit in a polished way we act. But otherwise we are Pishaj actually. But the reason is that it's spoken here is Pishaj has got this nature that Nakarta Nehase Kinjil Jadon Mata Pushajavan. Pishajavan. Pishaj is such a thing, character, who gives trouble to others. Who gives trouble to others. So everyone who gives troubles to others is a Pishajavan. But this Pishaj, what we are referring to here, that if you become a Pishaj-like form, a devil-like person, people won't give you trouble. That's why they act like this. That if they say, for example, a nicely dressed person, and if he is self-realized, and he is dressed very well, he goes out begging for food. People will say to him, "What's wrong with you? Why don't you go and work? Why do you disturb us like this? Can you not work? You've got a nice healthy body. Why don't you work?" We'll ask this question, isn't it, to him? Or we will even, if he tells you, "No, I'm self-realized, that's why I don't want to do any work," you will say, "Well, you can have all that, but I'm not going to give you anything. You go and do the work," you'll say. And sometimes we will feel a kind of a repulsion towards him. We'll even criticize him towards others, saying to him that, "Look at him, he doesn't want to do any work, he's a lazy character, he just wants to live at the cost of others." But say if it is a mad person, who has completely mad, and he lives in this world, what we'll do? We will ignore him. "Oh, there's a crazy character, leave him alone, leave him alone." We live like that. And these jnanis, realized souls, they know if they act like this, nobody will give them any trouble. They don't want any trouble from people. They are waiting for the body to drop in this world. That's their time they are waiting for, time to come. So because of that, all their activities is very difficult to understand. Jadam Unmatam Pishachavat, it says here. Therefore they act like that. Otherwise, the society will give them trouble. Society will give them trouble. They have no emotions towards anything, and no connection with anything in this world, already situated in the pure spiritual platform. The king understood this. So therefore, you will see in the next paragraph what he says. Janeshu dekhyamaneshu kamalobhadava agninaha nadapyasi agninamukto gangam vasta ivadvibaha. Very important verse. Janeshu dekhyamaneshu kamalobhadava agninaha nadapyasi agninamukto gangam vasta ivadvibaha. That ordinary people in this world, he says, ordinary people in this world, janeshu dehyamaneshu, all the time they are burning, are they not? Which we know very well, how much we are all burning inside. Janeshu dehyamaneshu, because Yadu Maharaj is a very advanced person. He has a lot of knowledge, plus a lot of realization also. So he is saying that janeshu dehyamaneshu, generally, all the people in this world are always under anxiety. In some anxiety or the other, they have. Why? Because there are two things they have. Kama-lobha davagnina. Kamam and lobham. Kama means desire and lobha means greed. Greed and desire. These two things is there in everyone because of rajogunam. Because of rajogunam. So, rajogunam and tamogunam, they develop these things. And we are not free from that. We are under the influence of that. So, because they are there, he says here, janeshu dehyamaneshu. Under the influence of this kamam and lobham, they are always burning. They are always burning. Burning desires inside. Sometimes they come out, sometimes they stay quiet. We are not able to say no to everything, are we? We keep accepting things from everyone in some way or the other. And after not being able to fulfill the desire, we go looking for fulfilling desire somewhere else and acquire more objects in this world, work hard for that purpose. All these desires is all coming from kama lobha davagnina. So it is davagni, it's a kind of a fire that's burning us all the time, kamam and lobham. So he's saying here, janeshu dehyamaneshu, people are burning in this fire of kama lobha davagnina. So kamam and lobham are burning them. But what's happening here is, he says, Nadapyase agnina mukto gangambastha iva dvivaha. Yeah. Nadapyase agnina mukto. So, for example, when, say, nearby Ganga River, the Ganga River is flowing, on the banks of the river, there is a huge forest. Huge forest. And in that forest, there is a big forest fire. Big forest fire. So, an elephant who was in the forest, it decided that the only place I can take shelter is the river now. I'll walk into Ganga River and stand in the middle of the river. He's standing in the middle of the river. The forest on either side of the Ganga River is burning. Is burning. Either side of Ganga River, the forest is burning, but the elephant is not frightened. Elephant is not frightened. Why? Because he knows he is safe there. He is in the water, standing there. The fire won't attack him. So he's feeling the coolness of the water, and although the fire is burning around him. Yadu Maharaj is saying to Dattatreya Maharshi, you are also similar to this elephant in the Ganga River. Why? Because all the people are burning in this world, and in the middle of all these people, you are there like this elephant, completely cool, unaffected by anything what is going on. Unaffected by anything what is going on. Is this not surprising? He says. This all things only Yadu could notice this in the behavior of Dattatreya Maharshi. Yadu is seeing all these things. That Dattatreya was moving around unaffected by anything in this world. He did not have to satisfy anyone. He doesn't have any obligation to report to anyone. He is not affected by the heat and the cold or the happiness or the distress or any such thing. Nothing was influencing him. So seeing this, Yadu Maharaj is saying to him that Gangambastha Ivadvibha Nat Apyase Agnina Mukto Gangambastha Ivadvibha. Then can you tell us that Janeshu Dhyamaneshu Kamalobhadava Agninaham, that Nasapyase Agnina Mukto Gangambastha Ivadvibaham, that the way you are situated now is something what I am very interested to know how to reach this state. You see, normally sometimes when we study books and when we hear from someone, we get some little realization from that, isn't it? Some little realization from that, and for some time we feel a little relief also from because truth is something. When you get closer to the truth, everyone feels happy. That is the beauty of the truth, isn't it? Why we call Krishna as the absolute truth? Because it's a reality. That our connection with Krishna, as it gets closer, you feel some relief from the distress of material world. Similarly, when one gets some realization sometime in life, he feels happy. But the problem with that is, after some time, as soon as you go into the material world and start dealing with others, all this realization goes. Gone. Straight away. There you have to deal with all the false ego of so many people, plus your own false ego. So all the false egos start interacting there. When you go to, say, you go to, at home, you have chanted the holy name, you read Srimad Bhagavatam, and you felt a lot of relief. And some realization, after all this material life has only this value to it. You don't want to take it very seriously. I have to work for the existence or maintenance of my body. And you feel a little bit of peacefulness inside. As soon as you go to office, there, once your ego starts dealing with others, you will find a lot of people with much more stronger false ego there. And these different false egos start interacting. This little realization you had in the morning has completely gone there. Isn't it? And then you start thinking, what happened to me? In the morning, I was feeling one thing. When I was chanting the holy name, and I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and I was worshipping the deity, when I saw Krishna in the temple, and seeing that form, and paying obeisances to Krishna, and seeing so many things related to Krishna consciousness, I was feeling different. But now, in the middle of all these rakshasas around me, I have to deal with this world. Where did that realization go at that time? This is a this is an experience of most of the people, isn't it? Those who are especially devotees who are chanting the holy name and who are practicing some spiritual life every day, they will definitely think this every day once at least. After going to the office or to deal with the people who have no spiritual life, and when you see their obstinacy, their harshness, and their material desires, their million-dollar plans, and want to drive you also in that direction, you just want to survive in this world, but they won't let you survive. They'll say, no, 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 you got to be ambitious. Otherwise, you are not fit to live in this world. So you also start dancing along with that to keep things going. It's a very funny situation, but what to do? So when that happens, we all fall at that point, isn't it? Even the little realization we had goes away. Stay there. But here, our Yadumaraj is saying to King, to Dattatreya Maharshi, Yadu is saying to him, you don't seem to have that problem. You are still the same person under all circumstances. This is a very secret of spiritual life. That the mind, the moment it starts moving, it's called the chalanam. Chalanam means the movement of the mind. Karmam begins. Karmam is not physically doing with hand something. That's not what Krishna, when Krishna talks about karmam, that's not what it means. You must remember this. When Krishna says karmam means, karmam is actually the movement of the mind. That's where karmam begins. The mind is not supposed to move like this all the time. If the mind has come under control, it should not move. And when we are subjected to a lot of passion and ignorance and egos and all that, the mind gets completely disturbed, isn't it? And when it becomes totally uncontrolled, we go crazy. Is it not? We go crazy at that point. So, strictly speaking, the yoga state is that state when the mind has completely become stable, no more disturbed by the modes of nature. No more disturbed by the modes of nature. Therefore, you can see that he was able to detect this in Dattatreya Maharshi. Dattatreya Maharshi, in spite of all the things what was going on in the street, it was not bothering him. It was not bothering him. And Yadu Maharaj was amazed by seeing this, that he was still so steady in that situation, in that consciousness. How did you get here in this state? This was King Yadu's question. You can see Yadu was very intelligent to locate this, to identify this, and to see this in that quality in that person. And this is called, in the next verse you will see, the word used is, that tum hina prachadam brahman atman ananda karanam bruhi sparshavihinasya bhavadaha kevala atmanaham. Another important verse. He says here, tum hina prachadam brahman. All the time he is addressing him as brahman. Brahman means he is already realized state. That's what he is called brahman. Brahman realized. Aham brahmasmi state is already there in him. So by discussing this, the Dattatreya Maharshi, you can understand that it is not a cheap thing that to say that somebody is self-realized. Realization means these are the symptoms of a realized soul. Tum hina sparshprachadam brahman, that we are asking you this question because atmanyanandakaranam, that you have found anandam in Atma. Anandam in Atma. You can see how much Yadu has gone ahead in his own spiritual understanding. He is able to see these things in Dattatreya Maharshi, which is indication that all these things Yadu has noticed and understood, which shows that Yadu is also a very elevated soul. Elevated soul. Yadu is also a very elevated soul. That is why he was able to, only because Yadu is elevated, Dattatreya Maharshi is also self-realized. This conversation between Yadu and Dattatreya Maharshi is interesting to hear. Just see two realized souls on a very high platform, they are discussing each other. They are discussing each other. So, important point to remember here is that Yadu Maharaj is asking this question, that sparshavihinasya that he says here, Tumhina Prachadam Brahman, Atmanya Ananda Karanam. Unless there is happiness coming from the soul, it cannot be like this. This is the important point. Unless there is happiness coming from the soul, you cannot be like this. Yadu has already concluded that. So definitely Yadu says, you are self-realized. You are experiencing the true experience of a realized state of a personality. Atmani Ananda Karanam. If you can tell us how you got here in this state, Bruhi Sparshavihi Inasya Bhavada Kevala Atmanam. Sparshavihinasya. This Sparshavihina means there is a process called Asparsha Yogam. Asparsha Yogam. It's a yogic process mentioned in the Upanishads also. Asparsha Yogam. Asparsha Yogam means how to be completely disconnected with the sense objects. Completely disconnected with the sense objects. So he's asking here, Bruhi Sparshavihinasya Bhavadaha Kevala Atmanaha. Can you tell us, he says then, but then, then, can you please explain to us that how you are situated in the soul? How did you get to this state of consciousness? This is what he is asking. Bruhi sparshavihi nasya bhavada kevala almanaha. So, at that point, he says here, then, that normally, it's a very difficult question to ask somebody, isn't it? I gave you this example last Sunday, that we all think we all should look similar, isn't it? Similar in the sense, we all should be experiencing the same amount of similar happiness and distress in this world, then we consider ourselves as normal, is it not? So, for example, if we think that, I've got diabetes, oh, somebody has got cancer, then it's okay. It's all compensated properly. Somebody else has got some other illness. So he's also suffering, I'm also suffering. And we've got, all of us have got different illnesses. Or, in another way, we've got some other kind of problems in this world. Some different kind of problems. Financial problems or relationship problems, which more, normally many, many problems are available in these days. So, when everyone has some problem, we think it's normal. And we tell others also, that's life, isn't it? We say like this. Isn't it? We say like this to others. Oh, that's life, what can we do? We become philosophical at that point. Our philosophy is like that. When everybody is suffering, then it's normal. This is our philosophy. But Krishna is saying that this is not normal. It is a very difficult thing to change. Because where in the Bhagavatam or where in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that you have to be normal like this, the way we are today, continuously groaning, moaning and crying about this world. Somebody has done this to me, somebody has done that to me, or somebody has cheated me, or somebody is exploiting me, something or the other to complain about. Why? Because this is Asparsha Yogam is not in us. We have fully in the Sparsha Yogam. We are holding on to everything in this world, which are not even real, which is nothing but an illusion, Maya's world. And we are saying to each other that, well, things are normal. Is everything okay with you? Yes, 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 everything is okay. Both are, one is going to the chemist, other one is going to the GP. And both are normal. So, the thing is this, Bruhi Sparsha Vihinasya Bhavada Keval Almana. You, Yadu Maharaj noticed that this person is normal, he says. So, but in the middle of all of us, say for example, in the middle of all of us, say if you find a person, say he is 70 or 75 years old and he has no illness in his body and he is completely satisfied and he is living a very peaceful situation, we will go to him, what's wrong with you? We will ask that question to him. Is it not? We will see. There's something wrong with you. You are not normal. It's not normal that at 75 you can be stay without any sickness. Something must be there. Maybe nothing serious one. Something has to be there. Like this, we have got used to this philosophy so nicely that we are thinking, if you find somebody who is free from all these problems, we think it is abnormal. we consider that as abnormal. It cannot be, because already we have established ourselves very strongly on that platform. Normalcy means there should be a lot of physical problems, mental problems, job problems, relationship problems, this problem, that. If all this is there, then it's normal. If none of these things are there, it's abnormal. So it is not possible to go and ask that person, why is it like this? He will say, what's wrong with me? Nothing wrong with me. So what, there's something wrong with you then. Something normally say, we say like that, isn't it? So similarly, our Yadu Maharaj is in trouble here, because he has to ask this person, and he is telling him that Bhavada Keval Alpani, you are situated in the soul. How did this happen to you? We are all meant to be like that, in that state of consciousness. This is our fallen condition, contaminated state in this bodily concept of life and bodily mental activities. Bodily activities, this is all abnormal state. But due to the power of Maya, we have accepted this as the normal and that as the abnormal. Otherwise, in the realized state, Jadonmatta Pishachavad, like he was saying here, that in the state of consciousness, what he saw here was such that the what you have seen here, that Tumhina Prachadam Brahman Atmanyananda Karanam Bruhisparshavihinasya Bhavada Kevalalmanaham. Kevalalmana. That Kevalalmana is a very important word here. Why is important? Because Kevalalmana. Kevalalmana means I have nothing else to do with this, anything else with the matter. I am purely soul. Pure self-realization state, that is Kevalalpana. So he is saying here, how did you come to this state of consciousness? Then these are all related to realized state. Therefore, whatever we may say about this, it may not make much sense to us, because we are still thinking, that cannot be normal. I am the normal person. Isn't it? You may read this Srimad Bhagavatam again and again, and you will jump into conclusion, if that is normalcy, I don't want that normalcy. This normalcy is better for me. Jadonmatha Pishaja was wandering around in this world. What happiness is there? I'm much more happier in this, my normal state, we will say. So, but here, the truth is this. Bhagavatam is trying to tell us that in this bodily identity, we are already in the diseased state. Nothing is normal. Everything is abnormal here. And in order to come out of this, only in the case of realized soul. That's why in Puranas, in Upanishads and all, when they introduce somebody, most of the personalities whom they were spoken about, you will see there that this aspect of realization will be expressed very often. In order to make us aware, look, we are not normal, they are the normal people. They are the normal people. Example, Ashavakra Samhita, if you read, there is a discussion about Janaka Maharaj. You heard about Janaka Maharaj, Sita Devi's father. This Janaka Maharaj, that whole family in Mithila, they were given a special benediction by Ramachandra, that everyone, they will all be householders. Kings will all be householders in that family, and they will all be self-realized souls. This was a special benediction. Because of Ramachandra's appearance in that family got this benediction. Janaka Maharaj's family, whoever appeared as the king in that family, there will always be realized soul and there will always be householders at the same time. Very difficult situation, isn't it? So, in the Bhagavatam you can see that. Sudeva Goswami talks about that. In the Bhagavatam, if you read the 9th canto, Ramachandra's story, you will find there very explicitly discussed this point. Yeah, very explicitly mentioned this. So here, the question is this, that Ashavakra Samhita in Janaka Maharaj one day was sitting in the palace, in the assembly of so many great scholars and pundits and all that. They were sitting there. So suddenly somebody asked Janaka Maharaj about, is this not all affecting you? He says, what? I don't see anybody here, he said. That was the state of realization where he was. Janaka Maharaj was so realized that even Sukadeva Goswami congratulated Janaka Maharaj's self-realization. All self-realized souls know each other very well, and they will appreciate that point. That Ashavakra Samhita is talking about this, that Janaka Maharaj, when he was sitting in the middle of so many people, he was feeling loneliness there. he was feeling loneliness as though he was in a dense forest. He says, in Ashtavakra Samhita, Janaka Maharaj says this, I am sitting in a dense forest, he says. Although he was sitting in the middle of so many people. Just see. Then self-realization is such a state of consciousness. Once you have gone there and established there, then you don't come back to this state again. But majority of people in the beginning, it takes time to come to that state. But due to intense japam and sadhana, chanting the holy name, and when by Krishna's mercy, it can happen to anyone at some point in time. So, this is the same situation that what the Dadaraya Maharshi is experiencing. Once you come to that platform, there is no more seeing fault with others, seeing good in somebody else, and loving someone, hating someone, and also this competition towards others, lobham, greed, madam, false ego, all these things have gone completely wiped out from that person. Only in such a state you can experience that self-realization. All these things have to go away from a person. Then, so at this point, what is happening is, tum hina prachadam brahman atmanyananda karanam bruhi sparsha vihinasya bhavada kevala almanam. In Mundakopanishad, Gaudavadacharya says about this asparshayogam. Asparshayogam means that to be situated like this without being disturbed by anything and not being affected by anything in this world. This is a very highly advanced state of consciousness, isn't it? And that is called asparshayogam. Sparsha vihinasya. Asparshayogam it's called. The only fear at that time, even at that time, a fear can come to the mind that will I lose my this individuality. That fear can happen to that person, even at that time. So, here it says here, that the Tvamhina Prachadam Brahman Atmanya Ananda Karanam, that in once you reach that state of consciousness, this thing called fear from inside completely goes away. There's no more fear inside. These are all the special characteristics of the realized soul. He will not see anything one different than the other. If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna used some words on this. Sama loshtashma kanjana. He will see the gold, the brick, and the wood, everything equally. Does that mean he sees everything the same? What it means is, for him, sama loshtashma kanjana, gold, the value of gold, the value of a brick, the value of other things is all same to him. He sees them all nothing but manifestations of the soul in different forms. This is his realization. This is spiritual realization. It's not easy to get there. It takes many, many lifetimes effort and Krishna's plenty of mercy from Krishna. That's why it said, Bandhu sneham vijahyam tavahi garunaya toyubaveshidalma sarvam tektua chareyam sagalama vijagal viksha maya vilasam. In order to escape from this maya vilasam, from maya's this play, what it is, where maya is put forth to us, all these different things, there is only one way. What's that? Krishna's mercy flowing continuously. Tavahi garunaya. Only by Krishna's mercy this will happen. Otherwise it's not possible to happen. So here, our Dattatreya Maharshi is a personality who has received that mercy, and you can see what's happening to him here. What's happening to him here? There is no more. This differentiation has gone from him. And therefore you can see here that he says here that asparsha yogam, sparsha vihinasya bhavata kevala almana, that when you are getting to that stage, when you are getting very close to that stage, even then there will be some fear. Am I going to lose my individuality? That fear can come at that time. I took very close to realizing this state, you see, that you have gone beyond all other things. At different steps towards self-realization, different obstacles come. For everyone, it's the same thing. Different obstacles come at different levels. And by Krishna's mercy only, you can cross through all that obstacles. But every time you cross an obstacle and you look back, you see Krishna's mercy, how it has crossed you that particular obstacle. These are all the beautiful side of spiritual life. Spiritual life is not always dry, struggling, chanting 16 rounds, day in, out, banging the head against the wall to chant 16 rounds. That is spiritual life. It's a part of spiritual life. But spiritual life is also blissful sometime when these realizations come. They also have. That is why once you get the taste of it, you won't leave it. Krishna consciousness, beauty is like that. Once you get the taste of it, you won't leave it. Because then you know you are going in the proper direction, in the right path. So therefore, sparshavihinasya bruhi sparshavihinasya bhavada kevalalpanaha. Kevalalpana. In order to get to that kevalalpana, you have to become sparshavihinasya. That asparsha yogam. Or completely, eventually, you have to even give up your identity sometimes to get to that state of blissful consciousness. Only what exists at that time is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That you are pure form as the soul, simply experiencing the bliss and nothing else exists in that state of consciousness. Body has gone, mind has gone, intelligence has gone, senses have gone. Simply pure spiritual existence. This is what we are looking for in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the state of mukti. So, we are talking about all these things. Although it is easy to talk all these things, although it is easy to hear all these things, still to get to that state, we have to struggle. We have to work for that. And that is what the process of Krishna consciousness is. Simply by chanting Krishna's holy names, Krishna recognizes our desire for spiritual life. And that desire, when it is registered in Krishna's mind, Krishna comes, starts changing things, what is to be changed inside. Nothing has to come from outside. The change is required inside. He has to change it. What do he has to do? He has to enter into intelligence and make the intelligence to work in the right direction. He has to stop the mind always being in turbulent nature, turbulent condition. He has to withdraw us from the senses. Like the way it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Kurmanganiva sarvasha. Like the tortoise withdraws its senses, Krishna should allow us to withdraw all our senses from sense enjoyment. Like the mind, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that exactly like the, he says, chanjalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balaval dradam. He says the mind has to be brought under control. How? By Krishna's mercy. The intelligence should free itself from the three modes of material nature. How? By Krishna's coming into our intelligence. Just see how important it is, Krishna consciousness, to take to our realized state of consciousness. And once, when all these things happen, then, even spite of all that, ultimately we have the fear, am I going to lose my identity? Ruhi sparsha vihinasya. That fear also can come at that point. Gaudapada Acharya says this in the Mandukya Upanishad. Ruhi sparsha vihinasya. Purely to exist as soul is something which we can only dream of today. We cannot even experience a glimpse of that. But possible to know, that is why we study these three states of existence. Which one? Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. In Jagrat state, the mind, the senses, everything is active. So therefore, very limited realization. In the Swapnam state, dream state, at least the senses stop functioning, but still the mind is working under a cover, isn't it? Under a cover it's working. So therefore, tamogunam is prevalent there, at the same time the mind is working inside. But when you go to Sushupti state, what's happening is, even the mind is becoming a little bit, mind has become settled down, isn't it? So therefore, Sushupti state is little bit more an advanced state in spiritually in one sense. But due to the presence of intense tamogunam there, the mind is not in the Jagrat state. If the same state of consciousness what experienced in the state of in the deep sleep, the mind is awakened to the Jagrat state and able to survive in the same way, then he is closer to the realized state. So these three states is why. That's why Krishna discusses them in detail later on. And you can see when you absorb these things into your own mind, it all makes logic. It all makes logic and sense. So anyway, here what happens now is that Bhagavan Vacha, Krishna is saying here, Yadunaivam Mahabhago Brahmanyena sumedhasa prishta samajida praha prashraya vanadam dvijaham. That yadunaivam mahabhago King Yadu, Krishna is saying, is a Mahabhaga, very fortunate person. Why? Brahmanyena sumedhasa. He is worshipping Brahmanas. That is his greatest quality. Krishna admires those who worship Brahminical qualities. Brahmana means Brahminical qualities. One who worships Brahmin, Krishna doesn't appreciate very much those who worship Vaishya qualities and Shudra qualities. They are not very much worshipable. That's plenty available in this world. They don't have to look for that. Whereas Brahmana qualities are very, very rare, isn't it? Extremely rare. So therefore, Krishna's glorification is that, he says, those who worship the Brahmanas, namo brahmanya vedaya, namo brahmanya devaya, go brahmana hitaya cha. Krishna doesn't say, go vaishya hitaya cha, or go shudra hitaya cha. He says, go brahmana hitaya cha. Why? Brahmical qualities are very dear to Krishna. Why is that? Why Brahmical quality is so dear to Krishna? Because Brahmana's life is for others. He lives for others. He doesn't take from the society, he gives to the society. He is there to help others, to drive everyone in the direction of spiritual life towards Krishna. Because of that, he is respected. He is appreciated by Krishna. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hidayaja Jagadhidaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. There's a prayer to Krishna like that, isn't it? So why is that? Where did that come from? Because of this. That Krishna's appreciation of Brahmana Bhakti. So, Yadunaivam Mahabhago Brahmanyena Sumedhasam. And he is very intelligent, Krishna says. Who? King Yadu. Why? Prishnaha Sabhajadaha Praha Prashraya Vanadam Dujaham. That Mahabhag, this Brahmana who has been approached by Yadu and who has paid his respectful obeisances to him, that and to him our Brahmana has spoken. And that is, Krishna is saying, Yadu Maharaj, when he prayed his obeisances like this, our Dattatreya Maharshi looked at him and thought, should I speak to him or not? All the realized souls, they won't speak freely. That's why when we keep inquiring, we're looking for spirit realized souls, we don't find anyone. Because they don't want to associate with, we want to associate with them, but they don't want to associate with us. This is the problem. So it is a difficult situation, isn't it? As soon as they see our habits and our nature, then they think it's not worthwhile associating with us. So they give up on us. So therefore, they make a decision. They will make that decision whether to associate with us or not. And in the case of Yadu, because of seeing his sweet words and how he was able to detect this greatness in Dattatreya Maharshi, immediately he thought that it's worthwhile talking to him. Worthwhile talking to him. So see his words now. Brahmana Vacham Sandime Guravo Rajan Bahavo Buddhiva Shridaham Yado buddhi mubhadaya mukto adami hadashrinum. Sandime Guravo Rajan. That the Bahavo buddhi vashridaham. That I have, he says, I have done something. I have accepted many spiritual masters in this world. I have accepted many spiritual masters in this world. Sandime Guravo Rajan Bahavo buddhi vashridaham. I use my intelligence to do that. And that's how I got here. Yado buddhimubhadayam mukto adami hadashrunum. That because of accepting these spiritual masters, what has happened to me is that I got released from many other conditioning, and I freed myself from that by accepting these spiritual masters. This accepting spiritual masters itself is a big topic, isn't it? It's a big topic. Because often we have the tendency, especially in the modern world, the acceptance of spiritual master is very much an institutional thing. But when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there that what actually gave the impetus for someone to take instruction from someone else. This is the question we have to ask. The other things are not significant. What name I got, what how the fire sacrifice happened. They are all secondary matters, secondary things. The primary thing is, what has motivated a person to take that particular instruction from a personality and to accept that, accept him as a spiritual master or her as a spiritual master. This is the question what is going to be discussed now in the Srimad Bhagavatam before we go into this 24 spiritual masters. Because how he accepted them is important. If we don't understand, before we understand, these are very, very important things in spiritual life. Because, Pariksha Logan Karmachidan Brahmano Nurvedamayal. In the Bhagavatam, this state, in the Upanishad, it is in the one of the Upanishads, this statement comes. Pariksha Logan Karmachidan. When does one inquire? Pariksha Logan. He has worked hard in this world for many, many years to become happy. Executed a lot of karma in this world, and he realized, from karma I cannot become happy. This is the first realization has to come. I am working in this world hard every day after day, trying to work and to become happy. Ultimately I realize by working hard I cannot become happy. This is the basic first realization in spiritual life. That's why it said, Pariksha Logan Karmachidan Brahmano Nurvedamayan Brahmanishtam. Though that when he has come to this state of understanding, that one who is then inquiring after that to the next step, what he should do, he should understand that I am bound in this world due to my own karma. This is the second stage. First stage, he tried to become happy by engaging in karma. He understood ultimately that by karma, I'm not going to become happy. On the other hand, he realized that all what has happened by my executing my karma in this world, I simply got bound by that. And unless I, by increasing karma, I'm only increasing my bondage. This realization also has to come. By increasing karma, I am increasing my bondage. When that realization has come, he will realize, because of this, I am not going to get liberated. I am not going to get liberated. When that has come to him, he will realize that I have to go up for spiritual knowledge. I have to go for spiritual knowledge. Till now, I have not cultivated spiritual knowledge. All I have done was, I have engaged in karma, karma and more karma. Day after day, thinking that I will be liberated. But karma actually has not helped me. Karma has only bound me to this material world. Bondage is coming from karma. So, how to free oneself? If I execute this karma more and more, I am only going to get bound more and more. I am not going to be released. This is a very subtle understanding of karma. That when one is coming to the more subtle levels of karma, he can see this. But otherwise, what will we do? We will think, oh, if I work hard, I get more money, I'll be happy. This is a very superficial understanding. The deeper, extremely subtle understanding is this. So you can see, the same thing is understood by two people in two different levels. One person understands, by working hard, he is becoming happy. He is thinking like that. And in that illusion, he is working. Another person is thinking, I worked so hard all my life, it never made me happy. Why should I work and continue increase this karma? Karma is only binding me to this world. In order to free myself from this bondage, I have to think about liberation, and for that I have to cultivate spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding and devotion. So when he comes to that stage, it is then that he should go looking for help. Only at that stage. That's why it says here. Tasmal, tadvijnanartham. At that time, when he is ready for receiving that vijnanam, tadvijnanartham saguryameva abhigachet. He goes to a sadguru. And what kind of guru? Shrotriyam brahmanishtam. He should be a realized personality, and he should have heard. The Vedic literature must have gone to his ears deeply inside, and it must have made its impact on that person. That before we come to that, one has to develop that vairagyam to do karmam. Karmam, detachment from karmam must come to him. That, how do we realize that? We have seen that before. Everything you acquire in this world by karmam is temporary. Everything you acquire in this world through karmam is temporary. through karmam is temporary. You can see that also, through karmam you can go into the heavenly planets, isn't it? You can even go to the heavenly planets by performing sacrifices. You can go into the hellish planets also by performing sinful activities. Extremely sinful, if you want to go there. So, throughout this karma mandalam, heavenly planets, middle planetary system, lower planetary system, this is called karma mandalam. Higher planetary system, middle planetary system, lower planetary system. The universe is nothing but these three planetary systems. So, in these three planetary systems, the soul is moving up and down based on its karma. Karma is driving sometimes up, sometimes down. But it's not never freed from karma, isn't it? It's never freed from karma. So, only that person who is thinking, I don't want to go to these heavenly planets, I don't want to go to hellish planets, nor do I want to be in the middle planetary system, experience this happiness and distress. Only such a person who has come to that state of consciousness, he is ready for liberation. Only then he will be looking for liberation, otherwise not. This is not easy state of consciousness to come to. We know that very well, isn't it? It's not a simple thing to come to this state of consciousness. That we are people, we don't even want heavenly planets. We are just happy if there is plenty of money in this world. And without working very hard, if we can have some sense gratification. That means even the desire for liberation is far away for us. What to talk about, suppose somebody comes to us and says, look, don't worry about this, we'll give you heavenly planets. Oh, I'll settle for that, no problem. We'll settle for that, won't we? Because why? Because somehow or the other today, this little miseries what we experience, little or heavy miseries we experience in this world, if we can escape from here, we are happy. That's all. Our mind is only able to comprehend this much. We cannot go beyond than that. That even if you go into heavenly planets also, one day, kshine punye martyalogam vishandi. That once you finish there, you have to come back. That's also not a permanent abode. This is also not a permanent abode. Then what is permanent? So, unless these thoughts in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the sixth canto, if you look, you will see this beautiful statement. Who makes that? A demon is making this. Powerful demon, Vritrasura. Vritrasura is saying that, Aham Hare Tava Padaiga Moolam Dasanu Daso Bhavidasmi Bhuya Manasmared Asubader Gunam Ste Grinida Vak Karmam Karotukayam Nanaka Prishtam Naja Parameshtyam Nasarvabhaumam Narasadhibatyam Nayoga Siddhi Apunarbhavam Va Samanjasatva Virahaya Kankshe. This is a pure devotee's prayer. Only a pure devotee can pray like this. Would you, if these things, what is listed now, what are they? That he says here, Nanakaprishtam. Nakaprishtam means heavenly planet. Occupation the heavenly planets. Say, Indra comes and tells you, come on, now you have been here for a while. Come on, come to the 5-star facilities there. We get affected even by a 3-star facility in this world. We are such people. Immediately we start wondering, oh, this is not a bad place. We are satisfied straight away. We have such a simple understanding. Imagine in the heavenly planet what will happen if we go there one day. Indra invites us and takes us there. And we say, heavenly planets is much more than a 5-star hotel. Even more than a 5-star hotel. We see sometimes, when we get into a 5-star hotel, we want to use all the facilities in that 5-star hotel. We had this experience, haven't we? All of us. Sometime or the other. Otherwise we are missing out something. Why is that? Why is it like that? Because we know that this is what we get, the best we can get in this world. So let's have it. Similarly, when we go to the whatever star facilities are in the heavenly planets, when we go there, and from there we start looking down here, and suppose if we remember the 5-star facilities of this world, we'll say, oh, we don't want all that. That's much better here. Indra's swimming pool could be much better than the swimming pool here. Maybe there is no chlorine in that water or whatever it is. I don't know. So what I'm saying is, this is all relative things. We don't think all these things. When we find something, go for it. That's the immediate thought. We don't think when Vritrasura is saying like this, Nan Agaprishtam, he says, I don't want heavenly planets. We won't say like that, would we? Would we say Nanagaprashtam? No. We'll say, let's have a look at that. What's, and then we'll decide. Nanagaprashtam najaparameshtyam. Suppose somebody offers you the emperorship somewhere and tells you that from now on you are the king, you are the emperor, manage everything. Na sarvabhaumam na rasadhipatyam. These are all places where high standard of material life happens. Rasadhanam. So, places like that, even that, Vritrasura says, I don't want it. Na yoga siddhi. Even yoga siddhi, I am not looking for. He says, I am not looking for yoga siddhi even. Why don't want any yoga siddhi? Na yoga siddhi abunarbhavam va. Even if I have to take rebirth again, I am not bothered. You may wonder why he said like that, isn't it? Actually, what you have to understand here is, abunarbhavam va means that when you take rebirth, what normally happens is we leave this body and accept another body, isn't it? But suppose you are realized, this change of body won't affect you. Suppose you are realized, change of body won't have any impact on you because you are already out of the bodily concept of life. So, Vritrasura is saying, even if you give me another body, I am not bothered because I am only in the realized state at that point. Na yoga siddhi rabunarbhavam va samanjasatva virahayakankshe ajatabaksham ivamadharam khaga sanyam yadha valsadara kshudhartaham priyam priyeva vyushidam vishanna mano aravindaksha didrkshade tvam. He's saying is that at this point he is feeling that separation from Krishna is the only thing I can't bear. He says, I can't bear this separation from Krishna. Everything else I can live with. I am not attracted by heavenly planets, emperorship, or any yoga siddhis, or even taking another body is not bothering me. None of them is worrying me. You can see a demon, Vritrasura, inside a devotee is talking this. Imagine the state of consciousness that devotee had. When Vritrasura spoke like this in the battlefield, Indra couldn't say one word to him. Seeing that devotee's devotion. Because Indra is also trying to become a devotee, isn't it? So he is seeing how a first-class devotee is talking here. That I don't need this, I don't need that. And seeing that Indra was moved. Indra got frightened. Will he not kill me now? I want to get... Will he kill me now? This fear came to Indra. And seeing Indra's mood, Vritrasura realized, will he not kill me now? If he doesn't kill me, I will not be able to go back to Krishna. Vritrasura wants to go back to Krishna. And Indra has to kill him in order for him to go. That is the agreement. So what did he do? Indra stopped there. Vritrasura realized this and took Indra inside the stomach. Inside through the mouth, brought him inside. This story is in the Vedas. It is in the Vedas, it is in the Puranas everywhere. Of Vritrasura's this situation. So, he said, ajatabaksham ivamadharam khaka. Just like the birds are waiting, the little birds in the nest are waiting for the father and mother to come back in the evening with some food. They'll be waiting whole day, isn't it? Till the father, mother comes back with some food in the beak, so that they'll start coming and feeding, and they all have a family life together. Ajatabaksham ivamadharam khaka. Similarly, sanyam yadha valsadara kshudhartaha. That just like the calf, when it's allowed to drink the milk from the cow is always making the sound, isn't it? calling the calf to come. All the time, she is always thinking about the calf. And calf wants to get to the mother to drink the milk. Sanyam yadha valsadara kshudhartaham. Similarly, priyam priyeva vyashidam vishannaham. Just like a person who is married, newly married, husband has gone away, the wife is thinking about the husband all the time, when the husband will come back. So similar relationship, he says, priyam priyevam vishidam vishannaha mano aravindaksha didrkshade tvam. Similarly, Vritrasura is saying here, exactly in the same way, my mind is going towards you. It's the same state. Nothing else will satisfy me. I will never be satisfied with anything else except you. So, there you can see that Vritrasura's state of consciousness was such that I don't need anything else. These are the qualifications. Also, therefore, Vritrasura was qualified to be liberated. This is qualified to be liberated. So, liberated state of consciousness means all this readiness for all that, like Vritrasura had. That so much, that is why we started this class today with the four things, isn't it? Dharmam, Artham, Kamam and Moksham. Everyone is interested in the three. Dharmam, Artham and Kamam. Moksham means you need all these things, so we are not interested in that. We are only interested in the Dharmam, Artham and Kamam. And in the Kali Yuga particularly, even Dharmam also we don't want, only Artha Kamam. That's only two things that we are looking for in Kali Yuga. But as you go through Srimad Bhagavatam more and more, you will see the power of spiritual life, how it is transforming personalities like Dattatreya Maharshi, King Yadu and so many others. Probably that will inspire us also to go in that direction. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.